some of the comments from last week. Let me share a few of them. In last week's message, we talked about the need to truly become ministers of compassion and repair the hole in our world in the lives of individuals and people. And one of the things that we talked about in talking about the whole gospel, W-H-O-L-E, is how love and compassion and standing up for and being an advocate for those who are oppressed is part of our ministry as Christians and followers of Christ. And one of the statements we made, quoting a nationally known pastor, is, "The church has lost its arms and legs, and all that's left is a big mouth," was one of the comments that we made. And so here are some responses from last week, certainly not all of them. One man said, "Lord, I pray for the church to grow arms and legs that will take your work to others. Oh, Lord, forgive me, for I have become the big mouth." Another young person said, "More like this, very powerful and needed message." Someone else said, "Each week I absorb and learn more and more." That's very significant. Here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. Someone else said, "I pray that God shows me what I can do to make a difference." I agree, we can't do it all, but we can all do something. "Lord, guide and direct me. Help me to make a difference. Help me to go by faith and do what you've called us to. May I not be blind to those in need of a hand." Another said, "Lord Jesus, open my eyes and help me to be sensitive to the needs of those in my everyday life. And thank you for being sensitive to my needs. God, forgive me if I'm blind to others' needs. Please open my eyes and heart to your will." Someone else said, "I pray that God lay low the mountains and obstructives in my life and take my eyes off of me and look at him and his purpose." And then finally someone said, "I thought I was just making it through. Now I see how rich I am. I will do something." Amen? There is a hole in the world, a dark hole, caused by sin. It infects the hearts of men and women and boys and girls. And out of this dark hole comes fear and sorrow and unforgiveness and hatred and hunger and poverty and war. There's only one solution to this darkness: the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Christ defeated the darkness by dying for the sin that caused the darkness and then rising from the dead. Therefore, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. One of the greatest evidences that darkness has been dispelled and evil has been defeated is joy. Would you take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to 1 Peter near the end of the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I begin reading at verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." Isn't that great? Reserved in heaven for you. "Who were kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Notice verse 6. "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Isn't this a precious portion of Scripture where even though our lives are tested, as it says here, to purify and prove the genuineness of our faith, all the joy that should be in our lives because of the presence of Christ Jesus, this joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. Someone has rightly said, joy is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of the Lord. And Oswald Smith, years ago, wrote the words to this hymn. The title of the hymn is When Jesus Comes. And listen to the words. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. And for those of you that were baptized this morning, for all of us who can remember when we trusted in Jesus Christ, we have our ups, we have our downs, but Jesus' presence in our life changes everything and allows us to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. The gospel transforms individuals, families, communities, cities, and yes, even countries. This morning I want us to see an example of such transformation. Now, when we talk about the transforming power of the gospel, we admit or we tend to look at certain places where the grip Satan has is so great it may seem beyond repair. In his book, The Hole in Our Gospel, Richard Stearns tells about the darkest place, this is his testimony, the darkest place on the planet he has ever known, and he's traveled a lot with World Vision. It's in northern Uganda. Let me just read a little bit of his account about what was going on in that place. In the midst of war, and in northern Uganda, there were these warlords, and they called themselves the Lord's Resistance Army. How's that for a name for a cultish group? The Lord's Resistance Army. And they pilfered and mutilated people and raped women, and they would steal children, make girls sex slaves, and make the young men teach them to kill, to go back and kill their own parents and their family members. The atrocities that were done under the LRA are unbelievable. And so he goes on to talk about this group of people. I skip down and read this. They had come to steal food and other supplies, it says, but stealing was not enough, and they attacked the women, literally hacking Margaret's friends to death with machetes while she watched. But as they approached Margaret to do the same, the commander noticed that she was pregnant. Believing it would bring bad luck to murder a pregnant woman, he instructed his child soldiers to not kill her. Instead, he gave the order to cut off her ears, nose, and lips and leave her to die. That way, he reasoned, her subsequent death would not be on their hands. So they carried out the unthinkable and left Margaret maimed and bleeding to death. But Margaret was found and rushed to a hospital for treatment. Remarkably, she survived and 3 months later gave birth to a son, James. She and James were then brought to World Vision's Children of War Center, where she received trauma counseling, support, and later skills training as a seamstress. Margaret, traumatized and permanently disfigured, was trying to rebuild her life and be a mother to her child. This is where I met her, Richard Stern says. To our American sensibilities, Margaret's story seems beyond comprehension. There's nothing in our frame of reference that allows us to understand such brutality. What happened next can only be understood through the miracle of God's love as a demonstration of the incredible power of the gospel to redeem even the darkest kinds of evil. One day, months after her son's birth, Margaret saw the commander who had given the order to maim her arriving at the same rehabilitation center. He had been captured and had also been sent for counseling and rehabilitation. I cannot imagine the emotions this must have triggered in Margaret. In great distress, she frantically told one of her counselors that she had to leave immediately, that she could not be near him, and that she wanted to kill him. In response, the man was moved to a different rehab center, but Margaret's anxiety remained. World Vision counselors began working with this man. At first, he denied that he had committed the atrocities. They worked, too, with Margaret, trying to lessen her anxiety and exploring the possibility of forgiveness. After weeks had passed, the man confessed to his involvement in Margaret's attack, even as she worked through her own fears and anger. Finally, a meeting was arranged. The man asked Margaret to forgive him. And Margaret, reaching deeply into the source of all forgiveness, Jesus Christ, forgave. Here again was the power of the gospel to redeem and restore, and to meet evil and turn it back. On the wall of the Children of War Center are photographs of that day, Margaret and this man who had mutilated her. He is holding little James in his arms, and she stands next to them, smiling without lips. Gospel's powerful. The gospel of Jesus Christ is powerful. I want to show you a little video clip of a documentary done by the Sentinel Group that we viewed many years ago, some of us, but many of you have not seen it. This is just a little clip of that story. Now, I warn you, the images are difficult to see, but we need to see it and then gain a little bit more about what happened in northern Uganda as God brought his transforming grace to this group of people. Let's take a look.
While LRA leaders retreat deeper into the abyss, their young victims are limping into the light. For many, the road to recovery passes through the Rekeli Rehabilitation Center in Lira. Its founder, Belgian journalist Els de Timmerman, has seen more than her share of brutality.
Children return in a terrible state. I can't imagine that a human being can fall lower than the way we get these children in our center.
In addition to torture wounds, malnourishment, and a gamut of diseases, many returnees are severely traumatized. The psyches of pregnant girls are particularly fragile.
We had one girl a few months ago who delivered in the bathroom in our center without telling anybody. She did not want the baby because she had been raped by this commander. We found her at 5 o'clock in the morning completely naked and in shock, and the baby was lying in a corner dead, strangled.
World Vision is also playing a major role in the rehabilitation of child abductees. Although their broad-based programs are a godsend for thousands of lost and broken children, staff counselors have detected a disturbing phenomenon.
You find them waking up. You find them waking up, and it's like they want to do something. They want to do something, and what do they want to do? They want to kill. There's a power, there is a force, there's something that forces them into doing what they would not ordinarily do.
It is beyond the normal psychological explanation. There is more to it.
And that's why in this war, the church has a very, very crucial role.
As committed Christians, World Vision staff members know what to do.
They pray over those children. And when they pray over them, the children are freed. In other words, deliverance has taken place.
We pray with the children because that is part and parcel of us as an organization, as also as the individuals.
Because the ministry's care centers house perpetrators and victims alike, teaching on forgiveness and reconciliation is also emphasized. In one recent case, a former rebel was encouraged to reach out to a roommate whose lips he had cut off during a raid.
He said, if I ask for forgiveness, will it bring back the mouth? I said, it will not, but it will heal his heart.
Former LRA commander Sam Kolo, one of the most notorious perpetrators of such crimes, recently paid a visit to the Rekeli Rehabilitation Center.
He has asked forgiveness to the girls that they raped. He asked forgiveness to the boys that they beat up, for those that they killed. He asked forgiveness in front of the children. And it was a very moving speech.
The Aboke girls have embarked on their own journey of forgiveness. Though most have found release, the process has not been painless.
If I start remembering what has been happening there, I find it very difficult. But I prayed very hard to God, let me forgive them. Then I started praying. I said, Lord, give me also your Holy Spirit. But first of all, remove each and every stone that is still within me. I started feeling peace in my heart. When I started asking, may the joy of the Lord come down, I started laughing, very happy.
Joy is also the newfound friend of former sorceress Margaret Akello.
Before, my life was not happy, but now with Jesus, I'm always happy.
Like many recent converts in northern Uganda, Margaret has known the depths of demonic torment and superstition.
Really, I was getting mad. Evil spirit is going to make me run mad. I had to be in a bush where I don't see any human being. I was having a baby who was breastfeeding, but I even rejected that kid. From that time, I started now do the work of a witch doctor.
For a while, this work consisted of healing and divination. In time, however, Margaret's involvement with the spirits became darker and more dangerous. In a vision, a spirit smeared with ashes rose from the earth.
Over 3,000 houses were burnt. This is the first place where the houses were burnt, understand, and there were 120 houses burnt in one day.
Angry villagers pointed the finger at Margaret.
So from there, the LOC3 came and picked me and locked me in the house.
When the Operation Gideon team arrived in early 2003, they determined to fight fire with fire.
I had to collect all those things and burn them.
The powers of darkness, however, were reluctant to give up their prize. 1 week after her conversion, the voices returned.
The voices say to me, are you pretending that you are in peace? You are not in peace. And then suddenly, my hand got paralyzed.
But reinforcements were already on the way.
I heard a voice telling that other voice, this is my daughter. She doesn't belong to you now.
At 8 o'clock the next morning, a man of God arrived to do battle. 6 hours later, Margaret's twisted hand was released.
Now I can cook, I can dig, because God has delivered me. Since I gave my life to Jesus, those devils stopped coming. I'm changed. I'm a different person now. I'm not doing all those things. I want to remind people that these things are bad. Let them change and come back to God. Because for me, I've learned now, these things are wicked.
Salvation and deliverance have finally arrived in northern Uganda. And the blessings have not only touched sorcerers, but also the mother of Alice Lequena and hundreds of former rebels.
And even the number of churches are increasing. The number of people coming to the Lord are increasing. Because people are so perplexed, they are disturbed. They have gone through a lot of problems, and they can only find comfort with the Word of God.
In response to this need, several ministries are now providing IDP camps with Acholi scriptures and portable Bible schools. Area churches have also begun to adopt outlying camps, expressing long-term commitments through Bible studies, medical care, and children's programs.
We had a crusade about 3 weeks ago, wonderful, and you could see the hands of the living God. The lame walk, the blind see. And we are saying, God is here. He's here.
It's like you can go to the street of Gulu and Kitgum and in the market and shout, praise the Lord, and 100 people will say, amen.
Despite these encouraging signs, much work remains to be done in the north. And the church has failed before.
You know, the Bible says that a lazy person does not dress the game he has got by hunting. I believe this is an opportunity. The harvest is ripe.
It is not only ripe, it is massive. While nearly everyone agrees that Uganda's IDP camps cannot and should not last forever, some believers see a redemptive purpose in whatever days may be remaining.
Instead of having gone in villages to hunt for people, God has allowed them to come in the camps whereby all of them can hear the word of God and come to Jesus Christ. And if we don't use this window of opportunity, the Muslims are there. They are eager to come and take them.
Those people, they are hungry. And they are hungry for something which they don't know. So whatever comes in, whatever they see, they call it good.
There is hunger for God, and the people love God, but they don't know God. The knowledge of God is lacking in the land.
For now, there is evidence that the church in Uganda, and indeed around the world, is beginning to recognize its responsibility to God and the Acholi people.
Daily prayers are going on, monthly joint prayers are going on for the north. The door can be open, but somebody can ignore or neglect it. We need to do that now or never. Let us not neglect this open door. We must do it now.
The love of God, which is completely endless, is what's going to bring healing. But it's going to be the gospel with skin on.
Although northern Uganda is still in pain, the cause of her wound is no longer a mystery.
There's a strong connection between the bloodshed and the witchcraft.
And what God is saying is rebellion and idolatry can separate you far from me.
So when all these troubles descended on us, there was no way out other than turning back to God.
This understanding has led Uganda's kings, priests, and warriors to forge a powerful new partnership.
It's not state running church or church trying to run state, but it's the bringing together of the spiritual and the physical to work together for a common cause.
Our struggle has been guided by God.
Not by might, not by power, by the Spirit of the living God. Yes.
For the Acholi people, the night has been long and bitter. But now, faintly on the horizon, they can see the first streaks of dawn.
The Bible says all creation is groaning, waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. And I think some of the suffering in the world is just the groaning of creation. Man has tried to do things in his own power and ability, and we've messed it up.
To me, this suffering is like we are turning our back to God, but now that we are turning back to Him, He's remembering us again.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, glory be to our great God.
gospel of Jesus Christ is powerful. And what we saw a little bit on that film, if you'd ever like to see the whole thing, it would be worth your look, that's for sure. We know that joy, did you see the joy on their faces? God, when He comes through Jesus Christ, makes such a difference that no matter what has happened in your life or what your situation is, you find this joy that comes from Jesus. Through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we can turn back evil and bring joy to the individuals, yes, to families, to entire communities, and yes, even cities and countries. Turn with me to Luke 10, and I'll have to hurry, but let me share just a couple of things with you. Luke chapter 10. And in Luke chapter 10, we see that Jesus, having already sent out the apostles, the 12 disciples, back in chapter 9, now in chapter 10, we read verse 1, "And after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them out by two before His face into every city and place where He Himself was about to go. And He said to them, 'The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest.'" First of all, I want to share with you briefly the joy of being used of God. The joy of being used of God. Prior to this time, these disciples had been largely a diverse gathering of spectators. Now they will go out into the dark world and make a difference. What did Jesus tell them to do first? Pray. Pray. Then He did something that we need to do. He challenged them to be the answers to their own prayers. Let me ask you this morning. When you pray to God, asking Him to bring light to the dark areas and repair the holes in our world, are you willing to have God use you in the answer to your own prayers? Church, are you listening? We've got to wake up. It begins with prayer, which leads to action. And Jesus not only told them to pray, He gave them authority. They went out in His name to make a difference. And as they did so, they did it in His name and with His power and with His authority. So they went out, and notice in verse 17 when they came, and I don't have time to look at the whole text, obviously, but I do want to point out a couple of things. Verse 17, they went out for several days, maybe even weeks, and when they came back, verse 17, then the 70 returned with joy. Joy. Saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in Your name." This is the joy of being used by God, people. The joy that comes to us when we are used by God. And then Jesus told them something I think really remarkable that probably increased their joy and amazement even more. He told them that their actions had had an impact on Satan and his kingdom of darkness. The next verse, verse 18, Jesus said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." It's like Jesus is the commanding general, and He sent out His troops, but He, as only He can, He sees everything. And when they went out and did what they did and came back and said, "Oh, the joy we have of being used by You, Lord Jesus," He said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning as they were out there ministering." What does that mean? Well, Jesus told them that their actions had dealt Satan a terrible blow. Do you believe in the kingdom of darkness? It's very real. Do you believe in the kingdom of Christ? Very real. And if you know Jesus, you're part of that kingdom. We're in a war, folks. We are in a war. And Jesus told these people this remarkable truth. His words seemed to indicate that Satan lost his grip on the people and perhaps even on the communities they had visited. Whenever the disciples were working, a spiritual transformation was taking place. Everywhere they went to preach and proclaim and speak peace and provide healing and so on, Jesus saw Satan falling. That's remarkable. The same thing can happen through us today. Satan falls like lightning. Now, let's put this in the context of... you might think, well, I don't know if I could do what Luke 10 says. Let's not worry about that right now. Let's just worry about doing something. Are you with me? So let's put it down to where we can all grab hold of it. When we serve one another with a heart of love, Satan falls like lightning. Whenever we forgive someone who has wronged us, or put another person's needs ahead of our own, or whenever we proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, whenever we show compassion for the poor or break systems of injustice, we are used of God. And we can deal a death blow, well, at least a blow, to the kingdom of darkness. We too can make a difference in this dark world. We can show this truth that the whole gospel, W-H-O-L-E, can repair the whole, H-O-L-E, in our world. The whole gospel. And that is primarily proclaiming the good news of his death and resurrection. But as we're learning in this series, it also means showing love, compassion, being God in skin, as we just saw on the video. So, the joy of being used of God. If you want joy in your life, get up and do something for the kingdom. God will give you joy. Don't think you have to start out as an evangelist or this or that. Just start doing something for the kingdom. Second thing I want to share with you briefly is, and this is incredible, the joy we can bring to Jesus. Verse 21, listen to what Jesus, or it says about Jesus. In that hour, after they came back and gave their report about how God had used them, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. He had joy. And he said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. Now, this is one of the high moments in Jesus' life while he was here on this earth. Ask yourself, why was Jesus rejoicing in the Spirit? Why was he so filled with joy? And I believe the answer is obvious, because he saw his followers carrying out his ministry. He was seeing them do what he did. He realized that these group of common, ordinary people could touch this world by his grace and shine his light in dark places and repair the holes in this world. Look at the magnitude of this event. In verse 23, Jesus turned to his disciples privately and he said, "Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it." Oh, the magnitude. Jesus was rejoicing in the Spirit because he recognized the magnitude of what was going on. And do you not realize, do we not realize, that through the Holy Spirit, this same opportunity, this same commissioning, has come to us. We are not so far removed from what Jesus did. And he promises that we can do what he did. Notice also the simplicity of all this. These people were not... In the Old Testament you read about prophets and certain special people doing great things. But it seems now that through the Holy Spirit, as Christ has come and died and been raised from the dead, that now just all of us common ordinary folk can be used of God. God wants to take you and do something with your life. I don't know what it is. I'll be glad to talk with you about it, pray with you about it. But God uses ordinary people. And I just want to challenge us this morning. Let's be part of a social revolution through radical obedience to Jesus Christ. Let's stop pandering around and waiting for somebody else to do something. Let's all do something. Start with the little things. Just begin to think of yourself as a person who can be Jesus to this world. You can be Jesus to this world. And you know what? That's what he wants more than anything else. He wants you to be Jesus to this world. So, well, I can't be perfect like him. No, but you can be like him. We can, by the grace of God, be change agents in this dark, dark world. I want us to pray together this morning, and I want to show you the prayer that we're going to pray. It goes like this. Lord, we're just ordinary people wanting to be used by an extraordinary God. We give you Now listen, we give you what we have. Don't take that lightly. We give you what we have. We are ready by your grace to be a light in the dark places. Help us to be Jesus to this world. And I want us to stand right now, and we're going to listen to a song by Kathy Tricoli that talks about how we can be a light in this dark world. And I want you to think about this. You know what the kingdom of God really is? It's a bunch of ordinary people doing extraordinary things. And that's who we want to be. And as we are listening and you're ready to respond, now maybe you'd like to come up front and just make a public declaration, the best you know how, you're ready to pray this prayer. We're going to pray it together in a minute. But let's listen to the song and just let the Lord speak to our hearts this morning before we pray together. I don't know, maybe you misunderstood the invitation, but I'm asking you if you're ready. If you're not, that's fine. But whether you came forward or not, are you ready to pray this prayer? And mean it. It's a serious prayer. And if you're ready to pray it, you say, well, what if I foul up? Well, no, God gives us the grace to do what we commit to. Amen? And God is not looking for perfection. If that were the case, I'd have to sit down because I can't be perfect. But can we say today, you know, I'm going to move beyond just rhetoric, talk, doctrine. I'm going to move and put my life in a place where I'm going to actually do something. I'm not sure what it all will be, but I'm ready. And so let's pray together. Ready? Lord, we're just ordinary people wanting to be used by an extraordinary God. We give you what we have. We are ready, by your grace, to be a light in the dark places. Help us to be Jesus to this world. Amen. It is such a privilege to share the Word of God with you by way of this CD. May I ask, what did the Lord say to you today? Because He's always talking to us through His Word. And I guess a more important question is, what will your response be? First of all, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? The central message of the Bible is that God sent His Son into our world to save us. And Jesus willingly paid the price for our salvation by dying on the cross for our sin. 1 John 5:11-13 is such a great passage to sort of put all this together. It says, "This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." Now, the Bible is very clear here. He does not say he who has religion has life. It does not say he who does the best he can has life. But rather, it says he who has the Son, S-O-N, Jesus Christ, has life. The biblical definition of a Christian, then, is someone who has received the Lord Jesus Christ into their heart and life, and by that invitation of faith, they are born again. This is the definition of a believer, a follower of Christ. He goes on to say, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." What a wonderful promise. This assurance that we can know that we, present tense, right now, possess eternal life is such a great gift from our God. So, if you've not made that all-important decision to trust in Christ, I pray that you'll do it even now. Just pray and ask Him that He might come into your life, forgive your sin, and give you the assurance of eternal life. Next, allow me to encourage you to take the steps to grow in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many things that we can do to grow spiritually, but just let me share three or four. First of all, read your Bible. Take a time every day to open its pages and read. This is the very Word of God, His revelation to you, and you will grow spiritually when you read the message of Scripture and take it into your heart. Along with that, number two is to spend time in prayer. Prayer is talking to God, expressing your heart to Him, asking Him questions. You can ask Him anything. This wonderful privilege of conversing with God is now your privilege because Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Thirdly, be faithful to the services of the local church. Oh, it is so important to be in fellowship with other believers and to be under the sound of the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. And so as you do this on a regular basis, God will help you to grow. The Holy Spirit is now in you, and He will guide you in all things. Lastly, tell others about your faith. Don't keep it to yourself. But as God gives opportunity, let others know that Jesus is now your Savior, and you have chosen to walk with Him. Well, if there's anything I can do to help you in your spiritual journey, please let me know. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.